The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's subject is Parashas HaYishlach. In the Sedra, Yaakov is returning from the house of Laban. He's coming to meet Esau. This is the first time he's coming back to see Esau after he fled, which was many years before, in the Brocha, which at the time when the Brocha, he took the Brocha from Yitzchak, you know, away from Esau. At that time, Esau vowed to kill him. So he was eating in two minds, Yaakov. But he shlacht Yaakov Malochim, Lachon of Esau, Lachi, Vatsa, Seyas, Geyadot. Yaakov sent Malachim, he sent messengers, or he sent angels, to meet Esau, as he was returning, to prepare with his confrontation. The Torah tells us, Yaakov was very afraid. He heard that Esau was coming with 400 men. He divided the camps into two camps, and he said that in case Esau would come to make war against one, so then the other one would be able to escape. And then Yaakov prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should give him skuyish. And he dwelled in that place that night. He prepared a great matana, a great present for Esau. He sent his presentation to Esau. He slept in the camp that night, dwelled in the camp that night. And that night he got up and he went and he took his two wives and the two maidservants and his 11 sons. And he went across the Mavar Yabek, he went across the river. He crossed the river, and he took a cross on the other side what belonged to him. Yaakov was left alone that night. He took everyone across to the other camp. Yaakov was left alone. Someone came and attacked him. And he wrestled with this man the whole night until the dawn. And he saw this man saw that he could not be victorious over Yaakov. So he touched the joint of his thigh. The thigh meets the hip. Boys. But take a calf of Yaakov, they often demand. And the thigh of Yaakov separated from its socket, from its joint, they often demand as he was wrestling with it. By Emishal Chenikola Ashokar, when the morning started to break, so this man said, "Let me go, because it's morning." Yaakov said, "No, I will not let you go until you bless me." So this man said, "What is your name?" And he said, "Yaakov." "No longer will you be called Yaakov. Your name will not be Yaakov. Ki im Yisrael. But your name will be Yisrael. Ki sarise im alehim b'manoshim atukal. Because you have fought with gods, with angels, and with men, and you were victorious." The word Yaakov, that comes from the word heel. They were born, Yaakov and Esau, so Yaakov was holding on to the heel of Esau, and therefore they called him Yaakov. The word Yisrael comes from the word Sar. Sar means king, the prince, Hashem. Yisrael, that you reign, you rule, together with men and together with God's to call, and you were victorious. Yishol Yaakov Ema Hagidu No Shmecha. Yaakov said, tell me your name. And Yaakov said, what is your name? Why are you asking my name? And he blessed him there. I call Yaakov Shema Mokham Piniel. Yaakov called the name of this place Piniel. Piniel means the presence, the face of God. He said that I have seen God here in this place face to face, and I was safe. I was victorious. The sun came that morning, it shined for him as he went across Penuel, and he was limping on his side. Therefore, the sons of Israel commanded not to eat the Gid HaNosheh. Gid HaNosheh is a nerve, which is right in that area, which is Al-Kacha Yoreh, which is right near the joint of the Yoreh. And the sciatic, it's the sciatic nerve. Kimnoga Bekaf Yerech Yaakov Begid HaNosheh. Because the angel had touched the joint of the Yerech, of the thigh, by this nerve, and it jumped out of place at the Gid HaNosheh. Rashi explains for us some of these psukim. Rashi tells us, Rashi brings from the Medrash and from the Gemara, by Moshe Yaakov Shochach Pachim Ftani, because Ali, why was Yaakov left alone? Because he forgot something as he was taking all of his possessions over to the other side of the river. He had forgotten a few small vessels, and he went after them. This is the Gemara. But he let Ish, and a person went and wrestled with him. Pirishu Chazal, Shusare Shel Esav. Rashi brings the gracious Rabbo, this was not a man, but this was Sare Shel Esav, this was the prince of Esau, this was the angel of Esau, that came to wrestle with him. Yaakov was going to confront Esau, and first he had to confront his angel. When the angel said that I must go because the morning has come, the reason why he wanted to go because Mitzorach HaMilem is Shira B'yom. Since the morning has come, I have to say Shira. I'm an angel. I must sing Shira, I must sing praise to Hashem. It's my duty to sing praise at sunrise. Therefore, I must go. Berach Toni. So Yaakov said, bless me. What did Yaakov want to brocha? How did the ala brochas shibrachoni omi? She esam ma'ara alei. He said, admit to me. Concede to me. The brocha is that my father has given me, because Esav is coming with a claim against these brochas. We learned a few weeks ago the whole episode, the whole story, how Yaakov took the brocha from Esav, which we went into at length. So therefore, the angel said, that your name shall no longer be Yaakov. Yaakov is someone who comes from the back to grab a hold of the heel of a person. So they will no longer call you Yaakov, that you came from the back of Esav to steal his brochas. Ki misrora v'goloi ponim, but they will call you Israel, which is someone who is a king who reigns in a revealed manner, not in a deceitful manner, in a hidden manner. V'seif kosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu niglo alecha be'beis Eil, and eventually, ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself will come to you in Beis Eil, and he will machil shmecha, he will change your name. V'shamu mevachecha, and there he will bless you. V'anisha me'eya, and I, the angel, will be there at that time. And I will concede to you, I am the Sar Shel Esav, and the angel of Esav, I will concede to you these brochas. And he called him Yisrael because he was Sorisa Imalehim Anoshim Batuchal. Who were the Anoshim, the men? You fought with Esav and you fought with Lohan. You were able to be victorious over Esav, you were able to be victorious over Lot. Vayizrach lo hashemesh. What does it mean, Vayizrach lo hashemesh? That the sun shined for him. The sun shined for everyone. It shined for him in particular to heal his wound. And it was this sun, we learned last week, that when Yaakov was fleeing from Esav, he was going to the house of Lavan, and he passed through Beis El, and he passed through Yerushalayim, and he wanted to leave, but his boss brought down the sun earlier than it should have set, in order that darkness should fall, and then Yaakov would be forced to sleep in Yerushalayim in the place of the Beis HaMikdash. Who said, Sadiq Bola Basi, a righteous person is coming to my house, and he will go away without Lina, without sleeping. Therefore, there were a few minutes, or whatever the time lapse was, that was shortened from the day from the sunshine. Now, these few minutes were repaid to the sun now. Now the sun came up a little earlier for Yaakov, and that's what it means by Yizrach Leyej. It shined for him. Gid HaNosher. So Rashi says, why is it called Gid HaNosher? Gid means a nerve, a tendon. Nosher means something which moved, something which jumped. Because the nerve jumped from its place. When the angel wounded him, so the nerve jumped out of its socket and jumped from its place. And this caused a crippling effect to Yaakov. This was the nerve which is right in the area of the loins. And it controls the leg movements. It has an influence over the leg movements. It caused a crippling effect on Yaakov. And Rutzele Al Yerecha, therefore he was limping. When his son came and healed him. This is what Rashi tells us. The Gemara in Masechta Chulin, Perek Gid HaMoshe. In Chulin, there's a whole perek, a whole chapter which deals with Gid HaMoshe, because Gid HaMoshe is one of the things that we're not allowed to eat. And there's all kind of halachos pertaining to how it must be removed and what we are allowed, what we're not allowed to eat of it. Yeah, the Gemara goes into this parasha. Tells us a few more insights into this parsha, which is a very difficult parsha. One thing the Gemara says, "Rabbanan and Haibe Ofke Imay Mai Darshibe, the boy Leili Kidid of the Rishu Ben Levi, the woman of Rishu Ben Levi, Malamit Shehelo Avak Meragleisom, Ad Kisi Akovet." What does it mean by Ofke Ish Imay? Now the word Ove, Rashi goes into it. Rashi, nothing. What does the word mean? Some say it means wrestling. But also in the word by Yavik is the word Abak. Abak means the dust. So the Yeshua Levi Darshan, Malamed Shehelu Abak Meragleisom Ad Kisei Akot. As they wrestled the entire night, the dust that they were kicking up from the ground went all the way up to the Kisei Akot, to the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the bring a post of Ksiv Hocha by Yehovki the Ofke Imai, the Ksiv Hosem the Anon Ovei Avak Ragu. They bring a post to prove this. Be Omer Bishum and Levi Lomanik Rishme Gid HaMoshe, Shunoshe Mimkei Meva Olo. Bishum and Levi also said, why is it called Gid HaMoshe? Because the Gid, the nerve, went slipped out of its place and went up. Rama Rabbi Shua Rabbi Yasib Rabbi Hanina might exceed Deva Sholach B'Yakov V'Nofal B'Yisrael. The Pasuk in Yishayahu, Deva Sholach B'Yakov, Kodesh Baruch Hu sent a plague to Yaakov and it fell into Israel. Deva Sholach B'Yakov Zeh Giranosha. The plague which struck Yaakov was this of the Giranosha V'Nofal B'Yisrael Sheposha Nisura B'Chol Yisrael. And this Isur, this prohibition, did not end with Yaakov. Only began with Yaakov. From there it spread all into Israel. As it says, Al-Kain La-Yeifu B'nei Yisrael Gira Moshe. Israel forever, because of this, is not allowed, are not allowed to eat the Gira Moshe. Bomer Rishul B'Rechanin. Yesu B'Rechanin said, My B'Ksiv U'Tzpeach Torah V'Hochin when the, a little later in the Torah, Yosef was in Mitzrayim, and his sons came down to visit him, came down to Mitzrayim to buy grain, and Yosef invited them to his house, to the palace, and he was going to honor them and have them eat with him. So he told his son Ephraim, "Utzveach tovech vohochet." Tovoach means to chef. Hochet means to prepare. Torah says that you should shech the animal and you should prepare it. What did he tell him? Shech it carefully. Hochein, prepare it means to take out carefully the gira noshe. Remove the gira noshe in order that it should be kosher for him. Then the Gemara and Taisus goes into this in a little more detail. Vayivorse Yaakov Nevada. Yaakov was left alone. Why was he left alone at night? Because a few of his small vessels were not taken across the bridge as he was moving his camp. So he went back across the river the other side to retrieve them. And there he was alone. So the Gemara asked, why did Yaakov go after this pachim kitan, the small vessels? From here we see that when it comes to the righteous are more careful about their belongings than even themselves. The kol kach lama, why? Because they're so careful not ever to take something which is not theirs. Since they never want to be in a situation where they might have to take something which is not theirs, therefore they're very careful of their own belongings. Anything that is more than used to them, they guard carefully. But they shouldn't be put in a situation where they, chas v'shalom, might have to take something that's not theirs. So they're careful not to waste anything. Even the smallest thing they don't waste. Unless it's a mitzvah to do something with it, that's not wasting. But when it comes to wastage, even the smallest things they care for. Therefore, when Yaakov realized that some of his belongings were left on the other side of the bridge, so he went back for them. The angel said to Yaakov, let me go because the dawn is coming. So Yaakov said to him, he said, Yaakov didn't know exactly who he was. So he said, are you a ganef? Are you a thief? Or are you a murderer? Or are you a gambler? That you only go out at night and the minute that the dawn starts to come, you must go conceal yourself. He says, no, I'm an angel. And from the time I was first created, the time for me to say Shira, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is coming now. I've never said Shira before. And the Gemara goes to explain, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates many, many angels. Each angel is created only to say Shira once. His time to say Shira was coming now. He says, therefore, Shalcheni, let me go in order that I might say Shira. This, as we can well see, that this whole parsha is a very difficult parsha to understand what was taking place. Let's see if perhaps we can get a little more insight. We won't be able to understand everything that's in this parsha, but maybe a little more than we understand now we can. The Maharal Prague speaks on this opinion and related subjects in two places. In Sefer Netzach Yisrael, in Perek Tezah, and in Sefer Gvuros Hashem, Perek Samuzah. He brings a very interesting Gemara from the Sefer Avodah in the Afilat. The Gemara in Avodah Zorah is speaking of the holidays that the Goyim had, the idolatrous holidays that they had. The Gemara is speaking, these holidays, how do they affect Jews? So the Gemara says, Ora Cheresh Yesh Lahem. It's actually two gifts. The Gemara states, Ora Cheresh Yesh Lahem Bereini. But in Rome, in ancient Rome, there was another holiday that they had, an idolatrous event, which is not mentioned in the Mishnah. Another is Ir Achas Yish, the Malchus Ruiz. There was a city, a certain city, amongst the fourth kingdom. Now, we've mentioned many times that there are four kingdoms that were destined to try to destroy Israel and rule the world. The first one was Babel, that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash the first time. The second one was Modai Uparas, Syrian Empire, at the time of Purim. The third one was Yovan, the Greek Empire, which took place during the time of Hanukkah. The fourth one, the Malchus Revis, was Malchus Edom, which Edom is Esau. Center, the apex of Edom was Rome, the Roman Empire. Each empire swallowed up the previous one. These were empires that ruled the entire world. The Roman Empire is the empire which destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, which we are still in the golus of this empire, the exile of this empire. Then the Chazal tell us that the Melech HaMashiach, he will destroy this empire, the Roman Empire. So there was this was Malchus Revis, Malchus Reina, the Empire of Rome. And there was a certain time, a certain day that they had in a certain city. Achas Leshitim Shona Mevim Odom Sholem. Once every 70 years, this holiday, this event took place. This was a great, very great event. It took place once every 70 years. Mevim Odom Sholem, they would bring a perfect man. A man who was perfect. Perfect physical strength, perfect physical beauty. And then they would bring another man who was a cripple. And the Odom Sholem, the perfect man, would ride on the back of the cripple. And they would bring him out into the public. And they would dress this man, perfect man, in the clothing of Odom Arishon, the first man. And they would put on his head the karkifle shel Rebbe Shmuel, the karkifle of Rebbe Shmuel. Now, before we go further, let's see what we'll interject here a little, the commentary of Rashi and some of the other Rishonim, so we understand what's happening. There was another great idolatrous event that the Romans would have, which is not mentioned in the Mishnah. They would bring a perfect physical, a man of perfect physique, beauty, connected Esav. And this they did as a symbol of Esav. And Odom Chigar, they would bring a cripple, connected Yaakov. This was symbolic of Yaakov. Why? Because he would salei al yerechah. Because Yaakov was a cripple, because after he fought with the Sash of Esav, the angel of Esav, he became a cripple. Kleimar, what did they mean to bring out with this? Why would they take the strong man and ride him on the shoulders of the cripple to Sheksho Eidayin Esav Shailik Av Yaakov. Esav is still ruling over Yaakov. Because this was during the time of the glory of Rome. In fact, is we are still living in the time of the glory of the Roman Empire as far as the Chazal is concerned. Because the Roman Empire were the cornerstones of Western culture, of Western civilization, which we are still living in. And to show that the Dionysus of Shelet Aryaka, Western culture, Western civilization flourishes, and Yerushalayim is Rechubonah, Yerushalayim, Jerusalem is destroyed. They would dress this Odim Sholem in the clothing of Odim Rishon. Lehein bidei chamudei shohari le'esav. Why in the clothing of Odim Rishon? Because these were the bidei chamudeis that Esav had. We mentioned in the Shir a couple of weeks ago that when Rivka, mother of Yaakov, wanted to disguise Yaakov in order to go and steal the brachos from his father Yitzchak, so she wanted to make him appear as Esav. So she took the clothing of Esav and dressed him. It says the bigdei chamudeis. Chamudeis means the very valuable, very precious clothing that was with her in the house. So the Chazal asked, why were these clothing with her in the house? Because Esav didn't trust his wife. This is not sufficient. If he didn't trust his wife, he wouldn't trust his wife with the suits. So evidently there was something very special about this clothing. The Torah tells me, bigdei chamudeis, it means very, very precious, very, very valuable clothing. What were these clothing? Because I'll tell you, these were the clothing of Odom Arishon. Because God created man, says that he made for them costly sport. He made for man, the first man, clothing. And these clothing eventually went to the children, and eventually went to Nimrod. Esav killed Nimrod and took his clothing. He became the owner of them. You can imagine what kind of value they had, both as a monetary value, or as a symbolic value, or a historical value, or as a spiritual value. Made by a Balkan, so. Therefore, these were the bigdei chamudeis that he would not trust his wife. These clothing, Rome was still in possession. These are the children of Esau. So once every 70 years, they would bring out these clothing. And they would dress this man in these begotten. Bigdei Odom Rishon. These were the bigdei chamudeis shoyil Esau. Then they would place on his head Kiflo Shal Mishmael. Who was this? We read about this on Yom Kippur and we read about this in the Tisha B'Av. Kein Godol Me'arugi Malchus. Rabbi Shmuel was a Kein Godol, was the high priest. He was from those that the Malchus killed, that the empire, the emperors killed. Umitech Yofyo, and he was very, very handsome, very beautiful. Nithnas Belev Bas Kesar, as they wanted to kill him, the daughter of the Caesar, and she saw his beauty, she fell in love with him. She asked her father to save his life. He said he won't do that. But he will take his skin and he'll give it to her. So he should pour upon him. They took the skin of his face, the ponto the afasim. They bound it in certain oils, shitemi kuyemes, bele yishtan, in order that it should remain intact and not change. This also is still concealed in the treasure house of the Romans. So once every 70 years they will take this up also. Then the Gemara continues. The pisa. And they would hang on the neck of this person a weight 200 zuz of pisa. What is this? Pause. The pasuk in Tehillim, he pauses. This is a very, very valuable stone. So valuable that you cannot find it. Actually, Tosfos makes goes into a brings a Gemara, but the Gemara says that of the two portions. Israel, Pisa, and Ophis Lama, Chad Berenu, Chad Bel Cholayim Kuf. there were two portions of this stone that came into the world. One portion went to Rome, and the other portion went to the rest of the world. So they would bring out this stone as a chain, and they would hang it on the neck of this person. And they would go and they would cover their marketplaces with Enoch, with precious stones. The triple would carry the perfect one with all of this jewelry and all of this clothing through the marketplace, which was covered with valuable stones. They would be machris, they would announce, they would declare, sachkire plaster, that the nebuah, the prophecy of Yaakov, which he told his sons, that there'll be a time when Esav will be destroyed, or the brocha of Yitzchok, that Yitzchok gave Yaakov a brocha, hamigvir ochi, lachecho, that you will be a master over your brother. This is false. This prophecy is false. Achva de Morona Zayachna, the brother of our Lord, is a fraud. Brother of our master, of our Lord, the brother of Esau, which is Yaakov, he's a fraud. You can see. What did the brochas help? What did the Nebuah help? Echov shel Adonenu Esav ze'afanu. Yaakov shirima le'Esav. Yaakov that deceived Esav. V'choshev litol brocha v'yezbir le'echov lo'ochi. And he went to take the brochas in order to be a master, a lord over his brother. This is ze'afton. It's deceit. It's a fraud. It's not true. It never fulfilled. Never became fulfilled. V'cham echam yedolecham elecham. Those who see this, those who are merited to see the simcha now will see it. Those who are not will never see it, because this only takes place once in a lifetime. That's why they would have it once every 70 years. And then they would say, what did his deceit help him? And what did his trickery help him? And they would conclude by saying, "Ochi veil adain kav yokum dain." But they said, "Veil adain le Esav, oy le Esav, kishi yokum Yaakov, if Yaakov will rise, oy le Esav, if Yaakov will rise." Because the nevuah was milom yelom yamatz, milom yelom yamatz. These two empires, Yaakov and Esav, one will take their strength from the other. Lo nivne sur ele mechurbono shel Yerushalayim. Lo nivne Yerushalayim ele mechurbono shel sur. The rebuilding of Yerushalayim will be from the destruction of Rome. And the rebuilding of Rome will be from the destruction of Yerushalayim. And they knew this. So they would conclude by saying, Oy le Esav, kishu yokum Yaakov, when Yaakov will rise up. This is the simcha that they would have once every 70 years. What is some of the interpretation of this Gemara? Adam Rishon, who was created, the Torah tells us he was given two gifts. B'tzelem Elokim, he was created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'tzalmeinu Kidmuseinu, he was given a tzelem. We've given shiurim in the past as to what does it mean, this tzelem. But this tzelem is the unique spirituality that man was given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where in degrees he was given an image of Hashem himself. Then he was given a physical beauty. physical beauty that he was given was in the clothing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for him. The Pasuk in Tehillim that refers to Adam HaRishon, it's a Tehillim Ches, Kovei Behodor Te'atrehu. Kovei Behodor Te'atrehu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu crowned Adam with Kovei and Hodor, with great honor and great beauty. And this was shown in the clothing that he made for him. There's a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos that Rabbi Yochanan would say, the Gemara is in Masechet Shabbos, Kuf Yud Aleph, Omer Aleph. So Rabbi Yochanan would say that I never call my clothing, Ela Machpadesa. I always called it my honors, because it is clothing that honors a person. So Adam HaRishon was given the Tzelem Elokim, this great spirituality, that he himself, no other creation, was created through the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, with Tzalmeinu Kibbusim. Then he was given the physical beauty, the physical honor, and this manifested itself even more in the special clothing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for him. A couple of weeks ago, when we gave the shiur, the Rashi told us the birth of Yaakov Esav. So then we went into great length. But the Bonim and Yisraelitzu, there was a great struggle in the womb between the two, and Rivka didn't know what was happening, and she went to the Beis Hamedrash of Shame to seek out the prophecy of Hashem. Came back and he said, "These are not two, just two children. Shnei Goyim b'vid me. These are two nations." And these are not just two nations, but Ge'im Ksim. These are nations. Go'er, that will be of the greatest aristocracy and the greatest nobility that the world will ever know. And these are not just two nations of great aristocracy, but Le'umim. They are empires. And the Nisraitzitzu, the turbulence that is going on, is because these two world empires are clashing even in the womb for the control of the two worlds. Not only of the one world, but of the two worlds. Each of them wants to conquer both worlds. And each of them was only given one. Esav wanted not only this world, but the next world. Yaakov wanted not only the next world, but this world. One will draw its strength from the other. And when they will be born, they will separate from each other. Which means, they cannot live together, they are too contrasted to each other. The Nebuah was that from Yaakov and Esav, these two children would come to the two greatest powers that the world ever knew. And Yaakov would be the greatest tzaddik, the greatest righteous man the world ever knew. And this we went into length to illustrate this. As he was the Bechir of the Ovis, he was the perfection of Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. Only through Yaakov came the 12 perfect sons. There was no imperfection in him. And he was called Israel, that all of Israel should be called on his name. And from Esav will come the greatest empire of the four empires. Of Bovel, or of Modai, or of Yomo. Yaakov had the dream of the ladder. The Chazal tell us he saw also the four empires, and each one he saw would go up the ladder and then fall. But on the empire of Esau, he saw would go up and he never saw it fall. And there's a medrash in the beginning of Bereishis which tells us, Amayim v'acheshech holyo v'oret holyo tohu v'mohu v'choshech al-penei ha-tohom There was endless depth before the creation of the world. The Tahom refers to Esau, to his kingdom, that just like the endless depth, one cannot conceive of its limitation, so will one be unable to conceive or comprehend any limitation to the strength of the children of Israel. So this is what we were dealing with. And it was not merely a joke that Yitzchok wanted to give the brothers to Esau. He saw the powers of Esau. He saw the talents of Esau. Then also we went into great length where Esau would be the master of deceit. One example, the Chazal tell us that Esau was called in the Pasuk in Tehillim Achazir. And also when the four animals are mentioned in the Torah that you're not allowed to eat, so the Medrash says Chazir Zu Esau. Because an unkosher animal, you can tell by the external sign. His hooves are not covered. But when it comes to the chazir, to the swine, externally it's impossible to detect that he's not a kosher animal. And this is why the other animals sit with their hooves in, he sits with his hooves out, to show that he has cloven hooves, he's kosher. Externally it's impossible. Only internally can you detect that he's not kosher. Because he's not malageiro, he does not chew his cup. This is Esau. Externally, it will be impossible to detect that he's not righteous. Just like it is impossible to detect on the swine that he's not kosher. He will be the master of deceit. But he will be as non-kosher as the Chazir himself. This was the power of Esau and his empire. And these two sons, they and their children will rule. Yaakov and his children were given a kingdom of the world to come, of Olam Haba. And this we see, that in the entire world, which children were the ones that brought Torah to the world, that brought mitzvahs to the world, that brought the Das Hashem, the knowledge of Hashem, to the world? This was Israel. And the masters of the physical world, masters of the physical world, will be Esau. Yes, we see that. It came to the most advanced civilization of what we would call modern times. Cornerstone, or the apex of this, was the Roman Empire. And the inheritance that it left behind. So these were these two sons. These two powers each inherited from Adam Arishna. Adam Arishna was given both powers. He was made the Tzelem Elokim. He was given the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Soul which only man has. And he was given all of the covet and the hodor, honor, and the beauty of the physical world. Yaakov inherited the tzelem. Therefore, Yaakov became the master over the world to come to Olam Haba. Esav inherited physical attributes of all creation to become the master of the physical world. This is why the Chazal tell us how you may be the Nachash Ne'alonis. What were they fighting about in the womb? They were fighting to control the two worlds. Yaakov wanted not only the world to come, but the Olam Hazeh also. And Esau wanted not only Olam Hazeh, but Olam Haba. We find that Israel does not have too much hashlocha in this world. Nations that have been built up for hundreds of years or thousands of years, Israel, there have been times when they've been in Eretz Israel, but each time they sort of, they've been driven from one country to the other. They build for a few years and taken away from them. They don't have this hatzlocha, this world. Esau, he's the master of success over this world, especially when it comes to Western culture. There's been this domineering power in the world for 2,000 years. Never has any empire reigned for so long. When it comes to Rome, or what had left Rome, happened to end up by Esau. And the Gemara seems to contend that it's still, the Ginzei Remi, it is still in the possession of the Romans. It is for this reason that when they would celebrate the Simcha, they would bring an Adam HaShalem, someone of perfect physique, someone who was of strong physique and fine beauty, to symbolize Esau. Also, they would bring precious stones, some of the stones which could not even be found in the whole world, which were only the Ginzei Remi, the concealed parts of Rome. And they would place these stones on the person. They would go out to the great shvachim, to the great marketplaces that they would build. The Gemara tells us that one of the things that the Roman Empire will be remembered for is their great shopping marts. And they would march through these marketplaces, these centers, and they would cover these centers with precious stones. And they would take Karkiflai Shalem Yishmael HaKayim Godel. Yishmael HaKayim Godel had a particular beauty. And this external beauty they wanted. And this they would steal from Israel. Also they would place this on this person. And this was the kovod and the hodor ta'atrehu. How they would adorn themselves with the beauty and the jewels. And kovod in particular is linked with this world. Why? Because honor is something only which is possible if there are other people involved also, if there's someone to recognize them. A person would be all alone in a vacuum. There could be no element of honor. Honor is only a mayur. It's only a quality if there are others who will recognize the honor. So again, it's something which is linked to this world. This was Esau. Because of Yaakov's madrega, that he was the Tzelem Elokim, it is for this reason that we find that not only Esau fought against him, but Sarish of Esau, the angel of Esau. We don't find in the Torah, but in any other place, where an angel will come and attack a man. Of course, what do angels have to do with men? They're two different species. But because of Yaakov's tremendous height that he had risen to, and he perfected the Tzelem Elokim, the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, greater than any other via any other creation in the world. Because of this, already the angels were jealous. Modern Bamatsia, in a Sechre Satayim, it's on Darte Dalet Omer Aleph, the Gemara says, Shufra, the Yaakov, Me'ein Shufra, the Odom Arishim. Beauty of Yaakov resembled the beauty of Adam Rishon, and it's referring to his appearance. But the appearance of Yaakov Avinu looked like that of Adam Rishon. Then the Gemara tells us, which we'll speak about a few weeks from now, by Yosef, that the Shufra of Yosef was like the Shufra of Yaakov. Now what does this mean? The Chazal tell us that the Tzelem Elokim, the image that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed in man, and the soul that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed in man, this is manifested and this is recognized on the face of the person. The Or HaTzelem, the light of the image, is in the light of the face of the person. We once went into this at length. We don't have time to do it now. Just to mention very concisely. Tzelem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to a person as an Or, as a light. This light emanates from the face of the person. You see a person as alive, there's a light. Once the neshama leaves, the light goes away. Chos chokmas adam tor konif. The wisdom of Torah, which is within a person, this shines as a light from his face. This is the tzelem. And there's a reason for that. A reason for that, a very deep reason. The image that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to man gives man his identity. Gives man his exclusiveness. His tzura. Just like if you will make a vessel. You make a vessel. So when you mold it, take the clay, you take the metal, and it's a mass. This in Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew is called a golem. The Gemara calls this a golem. Take a piece of clay, a massive material, called a golem. When you form it into what it's supposed to be, this in Lashon HaKodesh is called the tzura. When something does not have its essence yet, its identity yet, this is a golem. When it's given its specific identification, its specific form, then it's a tzura. Where do we see the specific identity of every human being? Every neshama is different. Every soul is different. There is not one similar to the other. Which means that every human being has his own identity. Where do we recognize that every individual is different from the next one? Through a person's face. This is the only place where a person can recognize it. Look at anyone else. They look alike. This is what the Chazal tell us. Yishein. Yishein parzufin b'im zelizeh. Kach ein ish b'seihen b'im zelizeh. Just like the features of a face, the two faces are not similar to each other, so are the neshamas not similar to each other, which means that from a person's face can be detected the identity of his neshama. The tzelem, the tzura, the stamp that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, this is recognized on the person's face. And by Yaakov, it's a Shufla Kodom Arishim. Yaakov's identity, Yaakov's appearance was identical to Odom Arishim. So from here we see the greatness of the identity, of the individuality of Yaakov Arishim. And then the Gemara says even further. This we mentioned a few weeks ago. It's a Surah Shel Yaakov Avinu, Choku, Bekise Yaakov. Face of Yaakov Avinu is hewed out into the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We mentioned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne and his chariot has four images. One, it has the face of the lion, who is the king of the chayos. Another, it has the face of the bull, who is the king of the animals. Another, it has the face of the eagle, who is the king of the birds. And then it has man, who is the king over the whole lower world. And which man does it have? Yaakov Avinu. Mordechai says that when they dreamt and the angels were going up and they were going down, and the Baruch Hu had to stand over him to guard them, because they went up and they looked at the face, and they went down and they looked at the face, and they thought that he had stolen something, and the Baruch Hu was thrown, and they wanted to kill him. This is why the angel came to fight with Yaakov. And we find only with Yaakov Avinu he came to fight. That it was not enough that Esau was fighting with Yaakov Avinu, but also Sarai shook Esau. From here is we have an insight of what the Gemara wants to tell us. Vayeobek. They wrestled. But what is the word Vayeobek from Loshen Abak? The dust. Shehigia higiu avak ragleham akise hakovet. That the dust of their feet throughout the night when they were wrestling went all the way up, ascended to the kise hakovet. This means that the machlek is their war. It was not only a war on this world, it was a war on the next world. Because there was an angel and there was Yaakov Avinu. And both of their sources went all the way up to the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They would take a trip, which would be symbolic of Yaakov. When the angel came and attacked Yaakov, and Yaakov warded him off the entire night, and at the end he was victorious. We see, though, that even though Yaakov was victorious, but it was not 100% victory. Because it states, "V'hu tzaleh al yerecha," Yaakov was wounded. He was not unscathed. "Yigah b'kaf yerecha." Now is the question: when the angel saw, the angel saw that he could not conquer him, so he wounded him. Touched his kaf yerecha, touched the joint of his thigh. If he couldn't conquer it, so why was he able to wound him? And the fact that he was able to wound him, this means that there was a slight imperfection in Yaakov Avinu. If not, the angel would not have been able to touch him at all. Conquer him he couldn't, but he did wound him. And this is what the Gemara says. Shalach Devar be Yaakov. This was a plague in Yaakov. And it went throughout all Israel. And from here, Klal Yisrael is forbidden forever to eat Gila Noshe. Because there was an imperfection. The fact that Romans would bring up a cripple, they recognized this. He said Esau was a perfect man, and Yaakov was a cripple. Where did he become a cripple from? Because the angel of Esau crippled him. They recognized that from here was his downfall. And had there not been that imperfection in Yaakov Avinu at all, then there's a possibility to say that the hand of Esau would never rule over Yaakov, even periodically in this world. But it was only because there was an imperfection in Yaakov that the hand of Esau rises in this world. The Romans understood this. Therefore they would take an old Sholem, a man who was perfect, and they would ride him on the shoulders of a man who was crippled. And someone's riding on someone else that shows that he's ruling him. He's ruled in him because he's a Christian. But they knew that this was only periodical, because they would say, "Voy le dain, kishikon dain, oy to Esau, when Yaakov ruled." But meanwhile, they were ruling. And the Medrash tells us that when the angel touched the Gid HaMoshe of Yaakov Avinu, he touched many righteous people of the generations of Yaakov Avinu. And it says, "V'zeh deidei shel Shmad." This is the generations of Shmad, and there will be generations later on in Israel. And there will be tremendous, tremendous pogroms, crusades, whatever it might be. And there will be those in Israel that will be forced. They will not be able to withstand the pressure, and they will be forced to concede their belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They will shmad. And this will be an imperfection in Israel. This imperfection comes from Yaakov. And it will come from where the angel wounded Yaakov. It says, Nogad b'tzadikim she'osim borei, zeh deilu she'shmad. So we see that it came from an imperfection. It's interesting to note where this wound came. The wound was in the leg. The leg was joined to the heel. That's what Jacob's name. Hashem Ha'okir. So the heel. And the heel is the lowest part of the person. This is the end of the person. The lowest part of the person. In the most, the smallest level of the person is the heel. The latest part of the person, the neshama, it's in its places in the brain, and it shows itself to the face. The opposite to that is the Eker. And this was Yaakov's name to begin with. They called him Yaakov. Hashem Eker. More in particular, it was in the Yerch, the thigh. The thigh near the loins. Gemara says, in one place, mentions Ma Yerech Beseisim. Gemara mentions in a place, Ma Yerech Beseisim. The thigh is something which is always in a concealed. It's Beseisim, it's in darkness. It's always concealed. Because it's just the opposite of the face. The face is something which gives light. And actually, the part of the, this part where the angel was able to have somewhat of a, some, the angel, where the angel would have somewhat of a power, this was in a place which was very far from the tzedek. Where already we've come to the physical extremity of man. There, Esav was able to have some of the power. Yaakov had inherited the Tzelem of the king from Adam HaRishon. He became the master of it. So even the angel was not able to conquer it. Since he saw he couldn't conquer it. When he saw he couldn't conquer it, he saw one weak spot. And this was in a place which was very, very far into the extremity, opposite extremity of the Tzelem. So here he was able to wound him. And this wound went into his children. But more than that, he was not able to do. It was because of this, though, that he had somewhat of a reigning power over him. And because of this, Esau has a reigning power over Israel in this world. Therefore, they were taken out in Sholem and they were put him on the shoulders of a chigur, of a cripple, to show that they are reigning. And the brochas of Yitzchok are mezayachno. They are fraud. This is not true. Because the angel said that I cannot conquer. So he couldn't conquer, so he wanted to do him somehow. But to conquer, he said, I could not. And he said to him, no longer will they call you Yaakov. They will not call you Yaakov anymore. Yaakov is a name because of the heel. Yaakov is a name of a physical entity. And Yaakov is a name that you came and you took the brachas, b'mirmo, that you came from behind and took the brachas. He said, no, no longer Shimka Yaakov, your name will be Yaakov, your name will be Yisrael. Yisrael, Rashi tells us, is a sroro b'golui. This is a king who is revealed. Because you fought in Elohim Ba'anoshim Atuchal, you were able to fight against angels, you were able to fight against men, and you were successful, you were victorious. And this is what the Romans will say at the end. Boy the Dane, oi to this one, to our master, when the other one will rise. And the Rocha, the Haftocha, was that he will rise. Ultimate is that Yisrael will rise, Yaakov will rise. And then he will destroy Esau and bring the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malchus of Israel, back to it where it was. This gives us a few insights into this parsha of before Yaakov had to confront Esau at a physical level, he had to confront the spiritual powers of Esau, his angel at a spiritual level. And when he was victorious at that level, then he came to this clash with Esau in this way. It gives us an insight into this parsha and also into the, this is very relative, because the Chazal tell us that in the time of the Korban Beis HaMikdash we are still in the exile of Esau. Later, you may know we should see the Mashiach come.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.